It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Lazzy.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you gots to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans, this is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hey, Kermit the Frog, I am the new GM for Raw. NXT, NXT, yay!
Get the fuck out of here. Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of you youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say.
Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant, Total Nonstop Ant.
You know, I have to do a little bit less of the goody, 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 and a little bit more of the goofy, goofy, goofy. Jesus Christ. Mike Johnson's all over the place this week. You know, I tell you, the number one difference from wrestling websites 20 years ago to now is social media. And I know a lot of you out there are hearing that and saying, no fucking shit, Don Tony, what the hell are you talking about? Let me prove my point. You know, I almost did not do an episode of Breakfast with Blasi this week because, quite frankly, after doing Tuesday's DTKC Extra, there was not a lot to talk about. But I noticed on all these websites, report, 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 report. And all the people that I discuss and the sources I have, and, you know, it's not just fucking random Twitter followers. Don't you love when you catch people, oh, my sources, oh, what are your sources? And then they don't reveal it like it's a fucking taboo thing. But the minute that they actually break something right, they fucking want to tell the world about their sources. Well, you know, this week there was a ridiculously stupid Dolph Ziggler story floating around. There was assumption floating around in the form of Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. And the kicker was Alicia Fox. I got a kick out of this one especially. Now, Alicia Fox, has she overindulged on alcoholic beverages in the past? Absolutely. But I have heard nothing but good things regarding Alicia Fox recently. Now, look, I could be wrong, but if you notice, I never brought it on the shows. Why? Because my sources are not in the same fucking room as Alicia Fox, not in the same bar, not in the same establishment. So unless I actually have people there that see it with their own eyes, or, you know, I talk to someone who can verify it with someone who saw it with their own eyes, I usually leave it off the show. So this Matarazz Online writes this week that Alicia Fox was a drunken mess at SummerSlam. She was asked to go home and blah, 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 blah. Now, Alicia Fox, she denied it. But again, what's different from 20 years ago? Well, 20 years ago, you didn't have social media. But now you have Twitter, Instagram, other places where the wrestlers will call out people on their bullshit almost immediately. Now, with the Alicia Fox thing, of course, she doesn't want a negative story floating around like that, but I got a kick out of the rebut. You know, Alicia Fox went back to this guy. Now, we won't mention who this Matarazz is or the website he comes from. I mean, I never even fucking heard of Squared Circle Sirens, but she calls the person out. She's like, where did you get these reports? You know what this guy actually has the balls to say? He says, oh, I heard from a few people, and what do I have to gain by writing false information? How's about getting tweet fucked? Not one of the people that he spoke to was actually present in front of Alicia Fox. How the fuck do you write that in the first place? Not one person that he claimed he spoke to was in the presence of Alicia Fox. I heard from a person who saw it, and I heard from a person who heard from a person. That's your website? Why are you writing a website? Are you that fucking lonely? Seriously, there are so many jerk-offs out there. You know, Bray Wyatt, assumption. Oh, he was left off of Raw and SmackDown this week because they want The Fiend and Bray Wyatt to be special occasions only like The Undertaker. One of the dumbest things that I have read in recent memory. They need to get ratings to improve. They need house show attendances to improve. They need storylines to improve. And sure, Bray Wyatt is not the fucking savior of all the problems going on. But this is not a time where you hold someone out for special occasions. So what happens? People write that earlier this week. They run with it. Now we find out that they had to rewrite parts of SmackDown and they just decide to leave him off. All right, The Fiend is not going to be, or Bray Wyatt, and not going to be held off. Look, his appearance at SummerSlam was awesome. No question about it. We've been wanting to see The Fiend in the ring for quite some time. All right, but this isn't a fucking Undertaker issue where, you know, you just get a special occasion here and there. It's just dumb. And then you got the Dolph Ziggler story, which was even better. You know, Dolph Ziggler, handshake agreement. And it was going to wrap up at SummerSlam. After SummerSlam, he was done with WWE. And he showed up at the TV tapings and he thanked Vince for, you know, allowing. And Vince's like, what are you talking about? You're not getting out of your contract. You know, it was a handshake deal. They were going to let him out of his contract. And Vince is like, no, I lied. I'd rather pay you to stay home. I read that. I was like, you know, that's just like one of the dumbest things that I have heard in a long time. Now, if Dolph Ziggler would have stormed out of WWE and was pissed off and you had wrestlers there that told their friends on websites, that's different. But you just take a step back and you think about that story. It's just dumb. And people are running with this god-awful shit. And then the best part about it is when it ends up being bullshit news, they think they got an update. There was no update, motherfucker. You wrote a bullshit story from the get-go. Oh, update on the Dolph Ziggler. There was no situation between Vince McMahon and Dolph Ziggler in the first place. This is going to be one of the shortest Breakfast with Blassie's in history. Because quite honestly, everyone, there's not a whole lot to talk about. And I'm not trying to say this to sound like a prick, but, you know, we do the Patreon shows. Everyone is invited to sign up there. You can get our live Tuesday show for $2. We're not like asking people to fucking empty their wallets there. You know, we have a ton of expenses. And plus, you know, for the years and years and years and the 14, 15, 16 years that I've been online, you know, for the first 14 of them, yours truly was the one dumping all of the money so everybody could enjoy the shows for free. So recouping a little bit of the investment, the expenses that I put in for the last 14 years by myself, you know, obviously, you know, we have to offer exclusive content for our patrons. And if something is discussed on Tuesday, you know, when it comes to Breakfast with Blassie or DTKC and people say, oh, you didn't get into this, we got into it on Patreon. You snooze, you lose. You know, but something that I will bring up that I occasionally will bring into the regular shows because it's a very important conversation. You know, there's various aspects of news that we need to get into. And let's talk about King of the Ring a little bit because there's a little bit more details that have come out regarding the format of King of the Ring. Now, as I had speculated on Tuesday, this was not going to be a one-night, you know, done deal, Raw, maybe even into SmackDown, and be over. This may lead all the way into Clash of Champions, which I think is a very smart thing to do. This week, apparently, coming up, is only going to be the preliminary matches. The semifinals for King of the Ring appears to be going down in Madison Square Garden September 9th and the 10th, which is 3 weeks from now. Then you got Clash of Champions, which is the following week, which should be the finals. Now, you know, the participants, in case you don't know it already, for King of the Ring are Cedric Alexander, Baron Corbin. Yes, Baron Corbin. His name has not been brought up quite a while. Cesaro, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, Ricochet, Samoa Joe, Ali, Miz, Apollo Crews, Andrade, Buddy Murphy, Chad Gable, Elias, Kevin Owens, Shelton Benjamin. Now, I don't know if it's going to end up being a Raw guy versus a SmackDown guy in the finals, but the early choice that I had was two people, Ricochet or Drew McIntyre. For some reason, as goofy as it sounds, King Ricochet actually flows very nicely. Drew McIntyre has been an unsung hero for quite some time now. The match that he had, and I brought this up on Monday, the match that he had with Cedric Alexander, I went into that match saying, why am I watching this match again? By the time it was over, I said, you know what? I wouldn't mind another. Just like on Tuesday, Buddy Murphy and Roman Reigns knocked it out of the park. They had an awesome match, and we gave it its due on Tuesday. But we should also bring up, you know, the point that when people are really going out of their way to talk about this match, one of two things need to be true. Number one, either was a fucking unbelievably good match, or number two, participants, one or both, have not been in all that spectacular matches. Now, Buddy Murphy has not been utilized on TV. It felt like for the last 2 weeks he's been the bitch boy, and as I said on Tuesday, he kind of reminds me of fucking Kurt Hawkins with a little bit more ability. Nothing against Kurt Hawkins. But Buddy Murphy and Roman Reigns shined. And I might be nuts for saying this. I think that is the best match that I have ever seen Roman Reigns really participate in a one-on-one. It was great. And it's a little odd because when Andrade was first having matches with Rey Mysterio a couple of months ago, I wanted to see a full-blown feud. When I saw Drew McIntyre and Cedric again on Monday, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind another match. But when it comes to Roman Reigns and Buddy Murphy, I feel like, you know what? Let it be one and done. Don't do a rematch, because there was a lot of psychology behind the reason why those two fought this past week on SmackDown. You do a rematch, you know, I don't think, first of all, it will be on the same level as the first match. And second off, you know, if the second match doesn't click all that well, it's going to take away from the first. I think you do it one and done, move Buddy Murphy to a different level. You know, I know Roman Reigns, all of a sudden, socially active on Twitter. I don't even know if that's Roman Reigns that's actually tweeting all of these things. He could have an assistant that's doing a lot. See, I'm not trying to stir anything up or act like an asshole. Just a little bit of education for those that don't realize this. But a boatload of celebrities out there, wrestling, entertainment, music, athletes, a boatload of them have assistants who tweet for them. And it's funny when I don't want to name any names, but there's a couple of people in wrestling that are extremely active on social media, which is wonderful. But it's funny sometimes to see a certain Twitter account, you know, liking things back and actually responding to some tweets. But meanwhile, the person is in the ring right now live cutting a promo. It's pretty funny because there's a podcaster, I won't mention the person's name, you know, older man, and he had tweeted someone. This person responded back. I thought the guy was going to ejaculate. Honestly, if I looked at his profile, even though, you know, it's a real, you know, like bullshit picture, it's like an outdated or not even a real picture of the guy, I honestly thought I saw a little bit of like mayonnaise on the side of his face. I think he blew a load because this person responded to his tweet. But the funny thing about it was while this person responded to his tweet, that person was in the ring live. I didn't even want to burst the guy's bubble. I'm just like, wow, you know, go smoke a cigarette. You know, you got tweet fucked that bad. But so there are a lot of people out there that will respond to tweets or like them. And it's not necessarily the person doing it, but Roman Reigns. Look at all the years he was on social media. Now, all of a sudden, this guy's tweeting and responding, and he made such a big deal about Buddy Murphy. Look, I'm ecstatic for Buddy Murphy because Buddy Murphy should get more TV time. I'm very happy for Roman Reigns for one reason. And I wonder if any of you out there who listen to our shows on a regular basis, could you figure out what that reason is? It's kind of like similar to what I said about Goldberg. And by the way, about Goldberg, there is an awesome photo floating around right now. Backstage at SummerSlam, Paul Heyman, like, just like, almost like hugging Goldberg. Goldberg looks like that he was emotionally choked up. And Paul Heyman is grinning from ear to ear that he was ecstatic. That, and if you could really, I know sometimes you see a photo and they say, okay, caption this. It looked like Paul Heyman was just expressing how happy he was for Goldberg to go out there and literally kill it during his segment with Dolph Ziggler. Now, I will say this, though. I get a kick out of people who are Jewish, seriously. There's nothing wrong whether you're Jewish, white, black, straight, gay, Italian, Asian, I don't care. But it's funny how many Jewish people out there saw that photo of Goldberg and Paul Heyman and brought up the fact that they're Jewish. And I'm saying to myself, how's about just the fact that Paul Heyman is hugging Goldberg and Goldberg is emotional and this, this, and that. And it's like, why even put like an ethnicity behind it? I don't get that. I just don't get that. When I've seen Bruno hug some people in the past, I didn't fucking, you know, get choked up and bring up the fact, oh, Italians, Goombas, blah, 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 blah. But it's a cool photo. But getting back to Roman Reigns, what does this have to do with the Goldberg thing? Well, you remember, I said that I wanted Goldberg to defeat Dolph Ziggler and do it in a very short period of time, accentuate the positives about Goldberg, hide the negatives, and wrong the right of what happened. I mean, right the wrong what happened at Saudi Arabia's event. Now, what does that have to do with Roman Reigns? I have had quite a few discussions on a lot of these shows where not only has Kev Castle said it, but I think Mish had said it as well, but Kev especially, that Roman Reigns looks like he's a shell of a man. He's not really, you know, putting in the work in the ring. There's something wrong and blah, 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 blah. I kept saying, no, there's nothing wrong. You know, they're just, you know, waiting for the right moment, the right storyline. It's just, you know, oh, no, 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 it's health, it's health. After Tuesday, notice how nobody, you know, that we're really focused on Roman Reigns' health, thinking that he's not 100%. Notice how nobody ever brought that up. That should have been the first thing that comes to mind. You know what? Roman Reigns may be 100% again because he fucking killed it in the ring with Buddy Murphy. That was what made me feel good about Tuesday more than anything, because now everybody that insisted that something was still going on with Roman Reigns could throw that shit out the window. And it's not like I'm right, you're wrong thing. It's being happy that the guy does seem to be 100%. But once again, Roman Reigns, all of a sudden, extremely talkative on social media. And me, I'll be the prick for a minute and use, you know, the other side of the equation. You had a great match. You know what I mean? It's like the way he's writing online, it's like it's almost as if he had his debut match. Yes, you show respect for Buddy Murphy. Yes, you gave a fucking awesome story to tell in the match with Buddy Murphy, but it was one fucking match. Buddy Murphy could shine. We've been seeing it for years. We did not need a match with Roman Reigns to show that. If anything, what was great about that match is the fact that WWE let them go as long as they did and gave Buddy Murphy a lot of offense. But I enjoyed that match tremendously. I thought it was great. By the way, did I even say welcome to this edition of Breakfast with Blasi? I don't know if I mentioned it earlier or if it was on the redo, but this is without a doubt is going to be probably in the top five of the shortest episodes of all time. One thing that I always said on these shows, I'm not talking just for the sake of talking. Do I, you know, extend stories a little bit too much? Absolutely. Do I like to talk? Absolutely. But just because I'm doing a show, if there's not a lot going on wrestling, you talk 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes and you get out of there. You don't say, oh, I got to do 2 or 3 hours. Blah, 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 blah. No, I do enough shows during the week that if one of them here and there are an hour, nobody should feel like they're shortchanged. But I do have some of our Patreon questions to get into today. And some of the discussion, I think, will echo a lot of people's thoughts out there. Speaking of Patreon, I want to give a shout out to our newest and returning associate producers, Derek Brewer, Zach Spudamore, Out Nahia, and G-Unit, Jay Gambino. Aaron Claus, congratulations once again. He won the predictions contest this week. For everybody who pays attention to the prize wall, he has chosen the Beast versus the Best. It is the WrestleMania plaque autographed by both CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. You go on eBay right now, that shit is selling between $350 and $450. He is getting that from me, brand spanking new. So that will be coming off the prize wall. And once again, you sign up on Patreon, you will have the opportunity to take part in these challenges. Doesn't cost you anything. And hey, you know, it's not like you get 1,000 people participating. You may get 100 to 150, and all you got to do is predict the matches correctly on the pay-per-views. And yes, we will be doing AEW as well once they are doing their work on a regular basis. I noticed the lack of buzz or the lack of attention online. I don't know if people quietly are a little bit annoyed at this, but you know, there's reports going around that John Moxley's contract with New Japan runs until Wrestle Kingdom 14. Now, you think back to the AEW contracts and a lot of people feeling that, you know, once they're doing regular TV, you know, these wrestlers are exclusive to AEW. And now you have John Moxley's contract extending to next year. Now, to be honest with you, let's also be a little bit realistic here. You know, that show's on January 4th, so it's barely into 2020. But, you know, by then, AEW would have had, what, about 12 weeks worth of TV? And Jon Moxley is not exclusive right now to AEW. Is that a bad thing? No, not at all. Jon Moxley is doing an awesome job for New Japan. And it's not like New Japan is having events, for the most part, in the United States on a regular basis. It's mostly overseas. And quite honest, whatever, I know a lot of you out there were expecting me to rip this right now. No, I'm not. You go back in the day with some of the WCW wrestlers, they would compete in Japan. So it's a totally different animal here. But his contract will run until early next year. And I want to see. I want to see if he actually extends it with New Japan. But on the flip side, that's why I always said to everybody from the beginning, the idea that all of these talents are going to be exclusive to AEW and no one else just didn't seem to make sense. Just doesn't seem to make sense. AEW obviously has got tremendous momentum right now. They are building a nice little foundation, and we're going to witness it from its birth, hopefully, to developing into a real, you know, just strong promotion. I withhold, as usual, saying, you know, a contender for WWE competition. You know, as I said on Tuesday, all right, AEW right now is not competition for WWE. They need to get their feet wet. They need to establish a foundation. They need to crown champions. They need to get into the swing of having TV on a regular basis. They need to have more pay-per-views. They need to have live events. They need to really find their niche. But at the same time, though, all right, WWE, though, and I use this analogy on Tuesday, you know, let's say you're a restaurant and you've been in business for 50 years, decent business. Maybe you're not making as much money as you did 10 years ago. Maybe you don't have as many clients as customers as you did 10 years ago, but you're still very, very strong. Then you find out that a diner, a restaurant, is going to be opening up a couple of blocks away, serving very similar food than you. Now, you could turn around and publicly just brush it off like, nah, we're in business 50 years. We have, you know, our regular customers. And, you know, although things are a little bit on the downturn, you know, in a blink of an eye, it could get right back up there. We're not concerned. But privately, that restaurant will do everything possible legally to have their customers or any customers in the neighborhood only go to their restaurant. There is no such thing like, oh, we can be copacetic. Oh, you know, some people could go to your restaurant and some people could go to my restaurant, mostly mine. And no, everything is great. No, that's not how business works. Every person, I brought this up Tuesday, every person that chooses to put a dollar into AEW, whether it's shirts, pay-per-views, whatever it is, events, every dollar that you put in AEW's pocket is one less dollar that could go in WWE's pocket. Would it go in WWE's pocket? Many times, no, not at all. But the fact that money is going into a rival promotion, and no matter how tiny it is, that's money out of WWE's mouth. Now, I get it. I know a lot of you are going to say, oh, WWE could afford this. Sure, absolutely. But in business, you want every fucking dollar, every fucking customer, every fucking person enjoying your shit more than anything. And that's what people need to understand. That's why when you have these goofs like Mike Johnson, and by the way, Monday was so much fun because a lot of you who have been listening to me for this, for almost since the beginning, you know that's, that intro was kind of like a flashback of what we used to do back in the day. You know, unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of goof incidents like that one. But hey, you know, when it rains, it pours. And, you know, Mike Johnson, you're fucking priceless, man. I mean, you just don't do that. You don't personalize by bringing up Vince and saying father-in-law. You ain't in like that, Mike. I don't care how many fucking dicks you fucking stroke to get the position that you're in. I don't care how nice you are on the outside. I don't care how many years you've been doing this stuff. I don't care what you've been doing. You're not in like that. And even if you were on a fucking business conference call, you fucking keep it professional. So the minute he said your father-in-law, you pretty much knew you were dealing with a goof. But you saw what he was trying to do. You know, Cody and everybody in AEW has every right to be annoyed at Vince saying, we're not blood and guts. But fans could be annoyed too. But the idea that you're going to try to do gotcha questions with Triple H.
I saw a pussycat. I saw blood.
Oh, my God. That's what I say. That when you add these websites, oh, Jimmy Uso's getting arrested to purposely get fired so he can go to AEW. Sasha Banks, she went home. She's seriously considering AEW. AJ Styles didn't sign his WWE contract yet because he's seriously thinking about AEW. This is AEW. And what this is erotic fantasies from websites. All right. Would it have been cool to see AEW sign some of them? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But you got these websites that are so desperate to fucking inflate this promotion that they're so excited for that they'll just write assumptions, fantasies, hopes, and trying to portray it as legit. And when you put that kind of pressure on AEW, all right, and then it doesn't get to the level that you have hyped it to be, you know, that is unfair to AEW. And Mike Johnson, as excited as he is for AEW to launch, and you know he wants the Court Bauer, you know, all over again, Court Bauer hand job like he did in the early 2000s. You know, you go on a conference call with Triple H, and that's what you come up with because you want to have the gotcha question to basically make it look like, oh, I gave it to WWE and Triple H for their blood and guts. You see AEW, and you fucking come off like a goof. And there's so many websites that are doing that stuff right now about AEW. Now, it has calmed down a little bit, but they do a big disservice for AEW. Remember last year I said AEW is going to be the first ever millennial promotion? I think people are starting to understand little by little of what I meant by that. Just like many years ago, I said Roman Reigns was going to get the John Cena push. I remember so many of you out there, including my co-host, you don't wrestle like John Cena. You don't look like John Cena. Now people understand what I meant by that. you're starting to understand a little bit of why AEW is the first millennial promotion. Look, I am extremely excited for AEW. I did that special show last week because I didn't think it was respectful to you and to AEW for me not to put that TV update for weeks two and three, wait a whole week to put that up. I went the next day and put it online for everybody. And by the way, I talked about this briefly Monday. I added a little bit on Tuesday. I'm going to say it again now. I am not Epic Sports. I don't know who Epic Sports is. I checked my emails. I got no emails from Epic Sports this week saying about his page. I don't know why he is not on YouTube. All right, he posted our clips. I appreciated it. I always wanted to find out who this person was. Always wanted to give him a little something for giving us exposure. All right, but there was a little bit of an incident Monday. It was a clip from last Monday's DTKC show that I did not want on YouTube because I did 45 minutes the next day on Tuesday to basically answer all the questions that I had the night before. And there's no email for the guy. I posted on every fucking video that he posted that day before. Please do not put this clip up. Please do not put this clip up. I must have wrote it like 10 times. And he put the clip up. So I had the clip removed. I don't know if that had anything to do with him being taken down. I don't think so. Because if it had to do with that, he would have probably sent me an email and say, dude, you got me shut down because of this and that. Maybe he got offended because I didn't want a clip up there. And if that's the case, I'm really, really sorry for that, my friend. And I thank you for everything you've done for me. But remember, you know, I'm the one fucking talking on the show. This is my fucking show. And it's not, I'm not trying to act like a dick, like, oh, I'm giving you permission to post it. It's not like that at all. But respect that if I do an extra fucking bonus show to basically answer the questions that I had the night before and you totally ignore, you know, my request repeatedly, well, I have to do something about it. It's my fucking content. It ain't the opposite. You know, it's so, and you know, that's the thing too. You know, I had a few of you out there, and I can't thank you enough, from Johnny Rosado and Dells and everybody else who offered to post some of our clips online. Let me say this, okay? Five-year-olds know how to post YouTube clips. If we really want to put a lot of our clips on YouTube, it is very easy to do, all right? Unfortunately, right now, I spend 20 hours a week with the History Show. I have the Patreon shows. I got work. My father's fucking got a broken back. I got surgery next week. I have so much shit going on. Unfortunately, I don't have time to be putting clips on YouTube, but there's no reason why Kev can't do it. You know, so again, I thank everybody who offered, but this is our show. And if we want our clips, you know, we're on Pandora right now. And why? Because I've negotiated and tried to get us on Pandora. Fucking emails back and forth, sending clips, explaining why I think we would be great and this and that. They didn't just wake up one day and boom, hey, we're on Pandora. You want exposure, you got to fucking do some work. So believe me, if we want our clips on YouTube, you know, there's four hands right now that actually function pretty well. Two from me and two from Kev. So between us, we should be able to put some clips online. It ain't brain surgery. It's cut, paste, title, done. Anyway, shout out to Dakota, the Cleric of Chaos Thompson. Fritanga plays. Wayman, Jim Betancourt. Thank you, Officer Betancourt. Donnie Souza. By the way, you all see that shit that happened in Philly yesterday? Fucking guy shoots six cops. Fucking hundreds of bullets. It's like a war zone. And the cops are trying to fucking stop this madness. And they're getting yelled at and harassed by fucking, you know, people. Embarrassing what's going on in our country right now. For those that live overseas, something tells me that you do not tolerate the bullshit that's going on right now. It's so, you know, it just, I can't, there's so many good cops out there, and there are some bad apples. There's bad apples in all fucking walks of life, you know, but it's like, now it's the cool thing to fucking, you know, show. I'm telling you, this is going to be a game on social media, you know, prove that you got a set of balls. Go up to a cop and fucking spit in their face, dump water on them, fucking push them, curse them out. You know, show kind of balls that you have. That's not something to be proud of. Those are dirtbags that do that shit. Like I said before, if there was a particular cop that harassed me or harassed my family, my girl, close friends of mine, and I saw that cop fucking, you know, getting cursed out at someone else, you know, I probably would laugh in the privacy of my own home and be like, good, he deserved it. But to just fucking take it out on innocent cops, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But thank you, Officer Betancourt, for your service. Donnie Souza, Master Gooch, Juan Cueva, Red 5 is standing by. Brandon Jones, Amber Davis, Chris DeMars. Everyone, as always, Texas Podcast Massacre. Great podcast focusing on horror films mostly and pop culture films from yesteryear. Shoot Defense, great podcast hosted by Stell. I know a lot of you overseas especially listen to that show. Now with the USA Women winning it all. I noticed some of our U.S. listeners are tuning into him. He's got a Patreon. $2 gets you content going back 2013. A lot of exclusive content you can't find online. RockedReviews.com. He has a YouTube channel as well. They focus on a lot of albums from yesteryear that somehow made millions and they're god-awful. And I know I'm just really simplifying what they do, but every show brings it to the table and gives you something different. None of the shows that we plug are the same style. Every single one of them is different. Sneaker Addict Dells, you know, he reviews sneakers, but he also does a lot of wrestling stuff. He's always at conventions, very well liked. You have SubZeroComics.com that sells a lot of comic books, collectibles, wrestling memorabilia, Christ in the Toyverse, reviews all of that, bobbleheads and whatnot. Your Best Bargains LLC, Mike, good friend of the family. He's got an eBay store and an Amazon store. Also on eBay, Raul Romo. If you're into wrestling cards, packs, maybe filling a set, he's got individual cards. He's got packs. He's got old school cards. And he sent me some really cool shit. So support them all. And once again, Elman Shah is a great artist. He's got a displayed store. If you go to my website, DonTony.com, there is a link there where you could go see his artwork and maybe you want to buy something. I didn't need to. I bought it because it was cool. And I know some of you out there have purchased his artwork as well. He's a really talented artist. Now, don't go on DonTony.com just yet because I got an alert that the website has been down since yesterday. That's one of the reasons why Breakfast with Blasi was a little bit delayed. I can't put it on the website right now because of the website being down. It's not my fault. The servers are down. Nothing I could do about it. But we'll get back into some news because I got more stuff. CM Punk and a few other things going on. You know, I want to mention this right now. Paige, you know, best of luck for her. She's got a huge road to recovery. She had to get another surgery on her neck. Anyone out there, just Google, you know, her bulging disc, the hernia operation on her neck. And then some people will say hernia to disc. Some people just use the term hernia. I saw some people online. I mean, come on, a simple Google search would have given you the answer. You know, some websites reported she had hernia surgery on her neck. You get these goofs. Oh, hernia, that's not for the neck. What are they talking about? No, actually, that is a term. It's similar to herniated disc. You could use either term. But if you look at photos out there, not of the actual neck, but if you see drawn images of what a normal neck looks like and one with Paige's condition, you understand, number one, why she can't get back in the ring. And number two, why this surgery was so necessary. You know, when you see that disc that's really pushing on a nerve that's, you know, causing you numbness, all right, it's not just, you know, not being able to wrestle anymore, but everyday activities, certain things that you do. You know, you have half of your body, you know, your upper extremities that are experiencing a lot of weakness and numbness. You know, that's not good. And she needed to get this surgery. She is recovering. Don't know how long that she'll be out. Don't know what this means about the Kabuki Warriors. As I said on Tuesday, I think Asuka may need to turn on Kairi Sane. Maybe get a little bit of a storyline brewing over there. I don't know. But I'm just really You know, I'm not confused as far as why the Kabuki Warriors haven't gotten a better push. It just feels what I've said, that up until WrestleMania, they really wanted to focus on the ability of the three women involved, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey, not only in the ring, but, you know, they're five tools. They can talk, they can do this, they can do that. They're just five tool players. And it seems like once Ronda Rousey, they knew that she was done for the time being. It's no longer, let's focus on the actual, you know, ability and the people. No, let's focus on characters. That's why I feel like Bayley and Sasha Banks lost the belts at Mania. It just felt like there was a seismic shift in the women's division, that as soon as Ronda was done and left, injury or not, it's like, okay, let's take the titles off of the other legitimate wrestlers out there and let's focus on characters. Let's focus on the iconics. Let's focus on it. And that's why if you see right now, it's been put on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And you look, Alexa Bliss, she has worked her way back. She's obviously still got some more to go. But she's not, you know, a superstar in the ring as far as telling the story goes. And unfortunately, there are a lot of fans of hers that do take notice during her matches how little she wrestles. And some of the smoke and mirrors that WWE has done. And Nikki Cross is very, very talented. But a lot of people also feel that WWE has really sacrificed Nikki Cross's character, what got her to the dance, to basically make her a lackey for Alexa Bliss. Now, you know, it was weird because SummerSlam, it almost felt like they were being baby faces. And then, you know, as I figured, it went right back to what they were doing before on SmackDown. I think WWE is still not sure which way they want to go with them. But again, it just feels like after Mania, okay, let's not focus so much on the, you know, over-the-top stars, ability, and let's focus more on characters. And that's what seems to be going on. Charlotte and the way they've used her since then, and yes, there's a little injury involved here and there, but the way they've used her, they just didn't know what to do. And, you know, it is what it is. But Asuka and Kairi Sane, you know, you could see they are unbelievably talented, but they needed to really focus on the gimmick and this and that. And yes, Kairi Sane did, you know, the same or very similar look in Japan. But WWE, you could tell that they decided to purposely focus on their, you know, their characters. Not, you know, building and showcasing their abilities in the ring, but as far as the characters, you know, spinning the fucking steering wheel and, you know, doing certain things in the ring. I mean, my God, look at Kairi Sane's offense. The last two or three matches she's had on WWE television, and then look at what she actually could do, what she did in NXT and what she did in Japan. And you're like, my God, they've removed about 80% of her arsenal. Why? Because they're not focusing on the real, you know, talented in-ring ability of the stars. They're more focused on caricatures, characters. That's why the Iconics went as far as they did. That's why it seems like Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I actually like that name, Alexa Cross. Oh, man, brain fart. You know what? It's Thursday afternoon. I came home for lunch to do this. I got to go back. You know, I can't neglect everybody out there. If I find a little time to give you content, that's why, like I say, everybody, you know, there's so many podcasters out there that instead of giving you extra content, instead of trying to improve themselves, instead of trying to expand their knowledge and no, they'll just gush and listen to other people's podcasts. No, not me. I do it for all of you, and that's the God honest truth. Paul Bielowski, what a refreshing change to see Becky get her ass handed to her. Sasha Banks, you know, I got to say this. I mentioned it Tuesday. I saw social media trying to really throw shade on Sasha Banks for the chair shots to Becky Lynch. Some places saying, oh, she hit Becky in the head. Look at Becky holding her head and this and that. Motherfucking storyline. If I start chair bashing you, look at Seth Rollins when Seth Rollins was chair bashing people a month or two ago. And by the way, as far as King of the Ring goes, I was sort of touching on this earlier and then I got sidetracked. Number one, would be surprised if we have Queen in the ring. Number two, it would not shock me if Baron Corbin wins King of the Ring and Lacey Evans wins Queen of the Ring. And we have the royal couple of WWE, Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin. Not saying it's going to happen, but keep that thought in your head. Keep that thought in your head. But, you know, getting back to what I was saying a few moments ago. You look at Seth Rollins chair bashing people, you know, just logic and storyline purposes. You're going to protect your head. You're going to get in the fetal position. You're going to try to prevent getting hit in certain areas. Anybody would do that. So Becky Lynch holding her head doesn't necessarily mean that she got a boo-boo on her head. In storyline, you're getting chair bashed in the back. You might hold your head to try to portray it that you don't want to get hit in the head. I saw nothing wrong with Sasha Banks' chair shots. Now, if we found out that Becky, you know, got a concussion or needed staples or stitches, that's different. And hey, for all I know, that could be the case, but I haven't seen anybody reporting that. I saw nothing wrong with Sasha Banks' chair shots. And I know some of you out there like, wait, he's defending Sasha Banks? Yeah. I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. Let's see where these promos go back and forth right now. Let's see if Bayley gets involved. She's a little disappointed at her friend. And we see if Sasha Banks does the same thing to Bayley. Got to be careful, too, because fans have been wanting a little bit of attitude in the women's division. That's why they fucking loved it when Bayley showed some signs of attitude last year. I don't mean WWE Attitude 90s. I mean like attitude, like, you know, I'm pissed off attitude. And but it didn't maintain. She went right back to being the character that we always expected her to be. Sasha Banks, though, it's a little different. Derek Brewer, do I remember the commercial they used to play on WPIX, kids singing about getting help with their homework, the Children's Aid Society? I do not remember that at all. To be honest with you, growing up, I was not a big fan of WPIX. I think I used to watch Tom and Jerry, and I always tried to play the picks game where you would call a number and you'd see like fucking Breakout on or whatever that fucking Pong, and you go picks, picks, picks. For people out there that don't know what I'm talking about, you go on YouTube, just type in WPIX and then picks game, PIX game, and you'll see something that I watched when I was growing up. It's pretty fucking lame, but you'll get a nice little laugh out of it. Paul Bielowski thinks Corey Graves is a little overexposed. Some of his heel commentary is getting lame. You know, Paul, look, is he getting a little oversaturated? Yeah, he's on both brands, but, you know, we've had announcers on both brands in the past. I like Corey Graves. He fucking works his ass off. At times, you know, it does get a little bit, you know, testy, but that's going to be with anybody. I have zero issues with Corey Graves. I think he's really one of the top announcers, and he hasn't been doing it all that long. I think a lot of people forget that. All Elite Jinder, my thoughts on Drew McIntyre winning King of the Ring. Yeah, I like I said, you know, McIntyre winning it, I think, you know, whether people like him or not, whether people even invest any energy on Drew McIntyre or not, I think Drew McIntyre has got to be the favorite in fans' eyes going into this. But, you know, I like King McIntyre. I like King Ricochet. It just flows well. But one side of me can't help but to think about the fact of King Corbin and Queen Evans if they do a Queen in the Ring. They got to do a Queen in the Ring. Think about that. They got to do a Queen in the Ring. Makes sense. They have to do Queen in the Ring. I don't even think it's you know what, you got to understand something too. It's an Acme Insta feud in some ways. You do a King of the Ring, you could have two people having a match against each other and you don't even need a storyline as a reason to have that match other than the fact that they're trying to qualify for King of the Ring. So maybe it does develop a feud here and there as a result. Queen of the Ring, absolutely necessary. Your Best Bargains, LLC. Did I see the video clip circulating about Big E asking if he would visit the White House? What are my thoughts on his answer? Personally, he thought that the interview was trying to stir controversy. Yeah, your best. It's happening with Mike Johnson. It's happening in politics. You see all the Democrats running for president. You know, all these people, say it, say it. Donald Trump's a white supremacist. Say it, say it. People want that gotcha moment. It's the ultimate in attention. You know, on the Patreon shows more than anything that I have exposed some really, really sorry ass people. And yes, we focus on websites and podcasts and wrestling because that's the common denominator that brings us all together. Pro wrestling. That's the common denominator. So that's why I always focus on them. But you see it. You see people out there that have just totally packed in having any type of real life outside of their four walls in their house. And they will tweet lies. They will say things that are happening to them with their health just to get support. They will say that they saw this or experienced this or fought crime, saved the planet, blah, blah, blah. Look at me. Look at me. Pay attention to me. Look at me. And when that dies down, you see them, they'll put a different thing up. They'll put a different thing up. Oh, you know, this is an ad. And, you know, it's all about look at me. So for some people, that's not enough. When they're a journalist, it's now look at me. I got to do a gotcha. Big E doesn't want to see Donald Trump. I don't blame him. I totally respect that. Big E was trying to be very diplomatic about it, but that's not good enough for a lot of people. They want Big E to fucking spit on Donald Trump, take a shit on his face, piss in his mouth, fucking shit on his kids, shit on his wife, fucking rip. It's no longer, okay, you know, I'm not a fan of the president. Oh, totally respect. That's not good enough. You have to crucify this man. And that is a terrible thing going on in this world right now. And it's not just Trump. It's in every walk of life. You saw Mike Johnson trying to fucking with that gotcha moment. Sure, it's not the same level. But the point is, you see people, when you hear me talk about podcasters and websites, we catch them in lies. And what's ridiculously sad about it, and your best bargains who asked this question, you know, Mike, because we've talked about it. There are some people out there who have been blatantly caught in lies. They'll make a claim. They get, you know, they get all this attention. And then a month later, somebody calls them out on their original claim. And, oh, no, I was just joking. I was just sad. And then you realize the level of, you know, just, you know, desperation out there for attention. With websites and reporters, it's the same concept. It's not only can I, you know, write an article or do an interview. I need that moment that everybody will remember. I got Big E to fucking call Donald Trump a white supremacist. I fucking, you know, showed Triple H and put it in his face about blood and guts because that's not what AEW does. Everybody wants to get tweet fucked. And notice the common denominator, Mike. Most of those people that we make fun of, that we expose, have no significant other. They may tweet about it. They may tweet about fucking getting laid or going on a date or this and that. It's funny. Ever notice how all of these experiences that these people have, there's never a photo. There's never a profile. There's never the other person, you know, writing, had a great time with you. Nothing. It's they none of them have internet. None of them have social media accounts. None of them have Twitter. You never ever see it because they just have no significant other. What significant other would want to see their grown-ass adult mate on Twitter writing like a 14-year-old? Seriously, that's why I fucking cut back. For those that don't listen to the other shows, you'll get a laugh, especially people that don't like me but still listen. You'll get a kick out of this. About 3 months ago, if people follow me on Twitter, at Don Tony D on a regular basis, you have noticed in the last 3 months, I have made a dramatic change on how I write on my social media. Yes, health scare has a lot to do with it. Yes, things in my family have a lot to do with it. Yes, you know, possibly getting engaged next year has a lot to do with it. But about 3 months ago, somebody that does a podcast made a claim about something. I'm not going to say what it was, but, you know, we knew it was a lie. And we let it sit and sit and sit. Then, like, you know, a couple of weeks later, somebody stepped up and called that person out. That person backtracked. Oh, I was only joking. I was exaggerating this, this, and that. And you look at the original comments and you know that's a blatant lie. So I wrote something on Twitter. And the funny thing is that person had no clue I was talking about that person. But I wrote it on Twitter. And please, everyone, no controversy here. I'm not talking about who you know you may think I'm talking about. 9 times out of 10, it's not a mutual person that you think it is. Because quite honestly, a lot of those people that you always think I talk about, I don't read their stuff. I mute them. I mute a lot of people I'm friends with that do podcasts. Because I don't need to see some of the shit that they write on the walls. And it's not just always about lying and stuff like that. There's just some, you know, I don't even want to bring up examples. But anyway, I wrote something on Twitter that really exposed a fraud. And I went to my girlfriend. I said, honey, look what I just wrote on Twitter. And she looked at it. And I thought I fucking just totally owned this person and fucking exposed him. She looks at me and she says, how old are you? And it fucking hit me like a ton of bricks. As ridiculous as this sounds right now, everyone, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I said, holy shit, it's true. It's like, you remember when we were in fucking grammar school, 6th grade, 8th grade? Read some of the things that you read on Twitter from grown-ass adults. You wouldn't even see shit like that said in 8th grade. People just fucking write these things to just for attention because they want to get likes and get noticed. I don't fucking care if you have this certain... So that's what's happening with journalists as well. And, you know, the Mike Johnson thing was just ridiculously bad. To the point where I actually did feel bad about him to a certain extent. D-Boy Gentleman, what's a better option, to buy a car brand new, buy it used, or lease? Well, you know, if you're going to buy a used car, you know, do not get an expensive one. I learned a lesson a long time ago. I bought a used car and like I was, 22? I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get this car home. I'm going to beat on it. And then my friend said to me, he's like, yeah, that car looks like a car that you would want to beat on. I'm like, oh yeah, could you imagine this fucking doing, fucking just whipping around turns and fucking sharp corners? And he said to me, he goes, if that car is such a great car to do that, what makes you think that the owner before you didn't do the same thing? And it like really put the thought in my head, and I still bought the car anyway. And sure enough, you know, you feel little things are a little bit off after a while. And then you say to yourself, my God, you know, did this person that owned the car before me, did they really beat on it? That's why I would never buy like a car from like a enterprise rent-a-car or stuff like that. I have financed in the past, because I'm not one of these where after 3 years I got to give a car back, even if I lease something else new. You know, I like the idea of owning something. I still have my truck that I financed back in 2012. It is now paid off. And I decided to finance it instead of leasing it or buying it. I don't like leasing. I certainly don't like buying used. If I buy a used car, get a car that has very little value to it. This way, if something does go wrong, you don't feel like you invested a great deal of money, unless you could get a good warranty. You could buy a used car from a used car lot and get like a 3-year warranty or even a year warranty, then it's worth it. Because if anything's going to go wrong, I had a 95 Eldorado a long time ago. Within 2 months of having it, the fucking transmission went. And I got a warranty on it. And I was like, thank God I got this warranty. They fixed the transmission. After that transmission issue, I never had a problem with the car ever again. I had that car up until about 4 years ago. And it was 1995 Eldorado. I had originally got it in 1999. So, you know, anybody knows indie wrestling in the Northeast, Fat Frank used to love my car. And a couple of indie wrestlers got blowjobs in the back of my car. They just loved the roominess. I'll never forget one fucking indie wrestler. I won't say his name. There is a good chance that he is listening right now because I still keep in touch with him. He's now retired. But I remember one time we went to a strip place. And a couple of girls actually wrestled also were at the strip place too. I don't think they were actually looking at the women and like in that way. I think just everybody was hanging out. And my friend says to me, he's like, hey, Blas, you give me the keys to your car? I forgot something in there. But meanwhile, he's standing next to a girl. So I look at him. I said, you coming right back? He says, about 10 minutes. So I already knew, put two and two together. He wanted some alone time. I gave him the keys. And I should have realized that that night they rode home with someone else. I ended up driving home from Jersey on my own. And lo and behold, the next day, I remember it was 2 days later because it was a Saturday night. I went Monday morning to go to work and I had like a shopping bag and I went to put it in the back seat of my car. And I look in the back seat and I see this dried up stain on my fucking leather seats. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, the fuck is that? Well, you could pretty much figure out what it was, so. Didn't even wipe it up. Fucking blew his load. I always keep rags underneath the seats and stuff like that. Fucking just left it to dry. Ah, good friend. Sharon Pierce, is the reason what happened to Asuka on the main roster the fact that she can't speak English well? Do I think more stars of NXT will start to get ruined early if Vince McMahon gets more involved with it? Well, Sharon, as I said many months ago, that it was only a matter of time that Vince McMahon was going to get involved with NXT. And it's only a matter of time that we start seeing the wild card rule on NXT. If NXT goes head to head with AEW, you will see wrestlers like AJ Styles and Sami Zayn and others that are going to show up on NXT because they're going head to head with AEW on TV. And I'm not going to be one of those that's going to say it's going to ruin the product. You know, it's funny. You know, there's like 10 million people out there that feel that Vince McMahon is going to ruin NXT, the show that they love the most, but yet only about 150,000 people tune in. Now, look, I'm not giving you the exact number. My point is there are a lot of people who have their balls in a bunch over this that don't even watch NXT. And you know how you catch them? When we've talked about it in the past. We have the Street Profits. Hey, they showed up on Raw. Not wrestling, but they're a backstage segment. And you see some of these goofy podcasters writing about the Street Profits like they had never seen them before. But yet, on their podcast, they will say, oh, yeah, I watched NXT last week and blah, blah. Well, they fucking wrestled on that show. You watch NXT on a regular basis, you already know what he does. When Lars debuted on the main roster, and people like, you know, he's very impressive. Wow, he could do this. I'm like, motherfucker, you claim that you've been watching NXT all year long. Fucking Lars has done that 1,000 times in NXT. That's how you catch people. So there's a lot of people that have their balls in a bunch that don't even watch NXT. They just don't like that, you know, old, over the hill Vince McMahon might ruin some. No, man, they want to make money. They want to fucking capitalize. The problem with some people in NXT is what I've been saying for years, that just because you perform in NXT doesn't mean that you can fucking perform in front of the WWE Universe because it's two totally different climates, two totally different fucking viewers, types. You know, it's just not the case. Asuka, not speaking good English? I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. But I do know recently that they wanted to focus more on characters than actual in-ring ability. And, you know, look, what happened with Asuka, I've said for well over a year now, when she was dominating in NXT and she was brought to the main roster, do you remember how many people got upset that she lost at WrestleMania? And I came on my show and I said, listen, everybody, you know, they needed to pull Asuka back a little bit because she was so much higher than everybody else in the food chain. And that was the problem that WWE had. They should never have had her have this Goldberg-type streak. She should have been able to be brought down to size once in a while because everybody in storyline should always feel that they have a little bit of vulnerability. This way, when someone defeats them, you don't, you know, it's suspension of disbelief. It got to the point where you just did not believe that someone could be this fucking dominating the way it is. So what do? You decide to bring her back down to earth by having a feud with Carmella. Now, look, Carmella, you know, not the greatest in-ring worker, not by a long shot. I still laugh at the fact that they celebrate, you know, as a record, for doing nothing. Hey, I hold the record of holding the briefcase the longest. Yeah, I celebrate the record for doing nothing. Think about that. It's dumb, but it's not her fault. It's just WWE's idea. It's not hers. If she came up with that idea, then you make fun of her. But the thing with Carmella is, at that time, the way that they utilize Asuka, yeah, okay, we'll have James Ellsworth get involved and we'll do bullshit finishes. That hurt. That hurt Asuka's stock more than it helped Carmella's stock. You know, I use an analogy on Tuesday that everybody loved, including Kev. And there's analogies he does I love too. I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, but this is what I said. You know, we were debating AJ Styles. And, you know, he feels AJ Styles has never been a big-time draw, like face of a company, this is and that. He's never been big. This, and I compared AJ Styles to a really good steak from a steak restaurant. Now, just hear me out for a minute. You could, anywhere you're listening right now, if you enjoy steak, sorry for the vegans out there, but for anybody out there that really enjoys a good, nice steak, just picture a steak establishment, a steak restaurant that you've gone to, that the steak is just unbelievable. Now, pretend you're going into that restaurant, you want a certain type of steak, and it's the top, top, top steak, and the restaurant gives it to you. The cut is perfect, everything is perfect, but when they give you the steak, that's the only thing in the plate. They give you the steak with a fork and a knife. You look at it and you're like, wait a minute, where's the potato? Where's the vegetables? Where's the barbecue sauce? Where's the A1 steak sauce? Where's this? Where's that? You give somebody from a steak restaurant, even though it could be the top steak, just the piece of steak in a plate with nothing else. And you're like, wait a minute, something's missing. But no. But the steak that you wanted, the reason why you're here is there. Yeah, but that's what AJ Styles is. There's nobody in wrestling that is over all by themselves. They're not going to wrestle themselves in the ring. But as far as AJ Styles is definitely that prime steak, but he needs other little aspects to basically fill it out to like the perfect dish. And unfortunately, you know, as far as Asuka goes, you know, she's got that unbelievable ability. But as far as the character side, that's why, like I say again, you know, the idea that WWE is destroying NXT wrestlers, I've read that, I've heard people say that, and it's such a dumb thing to say. You know, it's just that some people are not, you know, entertainers the way you think that they are. They might be tremendously over in NXT. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will be that over in front of 3, 4, 5, 10 million people worldwide. Just not the case. Totally different viewership. And WWE knows that. So I'm not going to be one of these who say, oh, Vince is going to ruin NXT. The current aura of NXT will change, but it probably needs to change anyway. Roger Rubio, what are some of the mistakes that TNA made, especially during the Hogan Bischoff era, that AEW should avoid? Well, I've kind of answered this before. AEW really hasn't launched yet. They've had a little bit of pay-per-view. They've had, you know, 2-3 shows. But as far as regular basis, it hasn't started yet. You can't start, you know, no, you can't. Can't compare what TNA screwed up that AEW can't. Two totally different rosters. You know, two totally different situations. I wouldn't even use WCW. The only thing that I would say is be a little bit careful with the size of the venues that you book. Right now, because it is so new, AEW could get away with 10,000-seat arenas. But you notice, then you know, some of the arenas that they have scoped out, 5,000 seats, 7,000 seats, that's very smart on AEW's part. AEW's got to be very, very careful the size of the venues. Sure, you don't want to book a 3,000-seat venue and then find out, fuck, we turned away 2,000 people. That could have been 2,000 more people that we had if we fucking booked a bigger venue. I totally get that. But you don't want to get into this problem that TNA did where they were booking fucking 7,000-10,000-seat places and only drew 500. I mean, my God, look at the baseball shows that we've talked about in the past that sat 8,000 people and there was 136 there. Just picture the opposite. Picture only using a 3,000-seat building and it's filled to the rafters. Just imagine how it looks on TV. Now, that same 3,000 people, have 3,000 people show up and you book the 15,000-seat arena with 3,000 people in it. Look how that looks. So perception is a big deal. So building size, I think, is probably one of the most important things that AEW should be careful with. Andrew 914, do I remember the live sea monkeys on the back of the comic books? Yeah, I sort of a little bit. You know, you poured it into it. I never fucking got into that. They would try to advertise it to make it look like, oh my God, little sea monkeys you could put in your fucking tank. And it was a ripoff. It was a ripoff. I used to love the Bazooka Joes back then, and I can't believe that we brought that up on Breakfast Soup. I had not thought about Bazooka Joes since I was a kid. No reason to. The live sea monkeys, they would advertise it. I don't know how many people actually fell for that, but they would advertise a lot of crazy shit on the back of comic books that actually wasn't really legit. But you know what it was? The parents, since they were the ones mailing the money, since they were the ones, they were supposed to be smart enough to basically tell you, all right, son, I'll order for you. And then, you know, oh, look, I'm filling out the envelope. And then when the son goes to sleep, you throw the envelope in the garbage. That's what you do. Cal Kazmarski, what's my parents' bird's name? Freddie. How old is he? He is almost 25. What type of bird is he? He's an African gray. I know a lot of people have been digging the little videos because I am bird sitting because my father broke his back, broke his foot. I can't believe nobody has thrown an Iron Sheik joke at me yet. My father fell last week and almost killed himself. He was very seriously injured in the hospital and he still can't move around. He broke his back. He fractured his back. My father's 70. And some people said they can't believe that he survived this. Broke his foot as well. And I'm bird sitting in the meantime because just to alleviate stress on their part. And I've been posting little videos. This bird talks. I come home from work. He'll go, Anthony's home. He does some fucking funny things. But as soon as he could sense I'm in the room with him, he shuts up. He won't. It's like that fucking frog from WB. Remember that time? Welcome, my baby. Welcome. And then as soon as somebody be in the room, cricket, cricket. That's what my bird does. But cool story about him. This is 100% true. And I swear to you, my mother wouldn't lie for me. My mother hates that I do shows. She thinks that, you know, my age, you know, I should be fucking, you know, having like a family life and stuff. And she's probably right. But my mother, one day, if I put her on speakerphone, she'll tell this story just to show you I'm not even exaggerating. Here's one story I could share with you. 1996, I had my car accident, which I know a lot of you know about already. For about 9 months, I could not walk. The first month that I was home, I was bedridden. Could not get out of bed for nothing. Broken hip, broken pelvis, dislocated, whatever. So the bird would be in the other room. And I would always like scream out to the bird. He would whistle and this and that. So late at night, I would get these unbelievably bad sharp pains in my leg because I had a lot of nerve damage. And my mom, God bless her, she would wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, come downstairs into my bedroom just to rub my leg so I could alleviate the pain and go back to sleep. She did that, I can't tell you how many times. So one day I'm laying in bed, must have been like 7, 8 o'clock at night. I was half asleep and I started getting this really sharp pain in my leg, like screaming, top of my lungs. It felt like, you know, something pinching me, like ripping my leg apart. And then like I felt it like stop and then do it again. And I realized, I looked down and the bird climbed down his cage, walked across three different rooms, was trying to climb into my bed so I could hold him. Not exaggerating, not even a drop. One day I will literally put my mother on speakerphones, let her tell you the story. That's exactly what happened. Bert actually walked across three rooms trying to climb into my bed because he wanted to be next to me. I guess he sensed that I couldn't get up. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why the bird acts like that. When we first got the bird and he was a baby, He would have to be fed with like this. It looked almost like oatmeal, and it would be a syringe. And I used to feed the bird a lot. I mean, I used to be the one that fed him the most. And I think deep down inside, the bird thinks I'm its mother or father. And I still remember when it was a baby and feeding him the syringe and he would open his mouth for me. It was the cutest little thing. But yeah, he's 25 years old and, you know, he's on borrowed time right now because these birds live from 20 to 60. So he could be around way past, you know, I'm here. So what's my favorite episode of Family Guy? I don't have any specific favorite episodes. There's so many that I laugh my ass off with. I just like the ones where they always do the stupid humor references. Some of the funny humor that a lot of people don't get, but, you know, we get. But I don't have a particular favorite episode. I just love to watch blocks of it. And as a kid, did I ever go to a water park, New York area? There was one near, Ramapo River. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I used to go fishing in Ramapo. I used to love it. It was right off of, I think, you take 87 to 17. I don't remember what exit it was, but I have some footage of me fishing in Ramapo from the mid-90s. I have like this whole camcorder tape of fishing and camping stuff I did. And we used to like go in a stream and the fish would spawn. And it was just an awesome thing to see. And there's a water park that was right near there. And we went there once. I can't remember the name right now, but we had a great time. I don't know if this would qualify either, but I used to go to Adventureland in Long Island. I don't even know if it's still around. I think it was Route 110. Used to go to Adventureland as well. Coney Island went a couple of times too. They had some water rides as well, but was never really a big into the water rides. I think more than anything because whenever I went to these things, I usually drove and I was not about to drive my car with soaked clothing. And so we never really did so much on the water park stuff. Or I would go, but I wouldn't actually ride. I rode the log flume once. Was it the log flume? It was a great adventure. I remember the log flume. Diogo Nobre is the mooch, the biggest snitch of the Trump administration. You know what? There's just a lot of colorful characters in politics. Everybody tries to stand out with shit. And I don't know, man. To me, if you notice, I've eliminated most of my political talk unless you ask me to bring it up. A lot of it's noise. I know. You know, I'm not a racist, and I know a boatload of people who voted for Trump that are not racist, and the idea of just, like, I get a kick out of people who insist that Trump is a racist. Look, he's said some really dumb things, and, you know, there's no excuse for some of his behavior. But where I draw the line is where anybody that supports him is a racist, too. Because, honestly, those people that are saying that are 10 times more the racist. It's almost like people who always like throw darts at someone else and they'll accuse someone else. You know what it is? It's like Antifa and the radical left that say they want free speech for everyone, but yet censor conservative speech. You can't have it both ways. Let's see what else. CM Punk, he's going to be at StarCast and they announced today, this is pretty cool, that he's going to be on pay-per-view. Now, I'm not going to lie. You know, some of these prices that are thrown out there for some of the appearances on StarCast are just a little bit over the top. I mean, the idea of buying a package is fine, but to individually charge people like they are, I think it's just over the top. Yes, money needs to be made somehow, but StarCast is going to be putting CM Punk's appearance at the event on, iPay-per-view. I don't think it's going to be on regular pay-per-view. It's going to be a one-hour interview as they're, you know, advertising it. Is it more of like a Q&A, you know, similar to like Comic Cons and stuff like that? I think so. I mean, obviously you will have someone who will be formally interviewing CM Punk, but you will have people in the crowd who will ask questions as well. Hey, if you're a huge CM Punk fan and you have the cash to spill to watch this, do it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the thing that makes me laugh. Nobody's putting a gun to anybody's head to order StarCast, to order any pay-per-views. And look, if somebody wants to charge two bills for a whole bunch of things, you don't want to pay that money, then don't order it. Plain and simple, don't order it. That's why I always stuck up for Conrad. Out of our entire podcast Inner Circle, you all know, I'm the only one that stuck up for Conrad for the podcast row and everything else. If you wanted to go and you weren't established, it's no different from when Mass Maniac used to charge ticket sellers a whole bunch of money to appear on one of his shows. Nothing different whatsoever. What else? Don Tony's political advisor. What's my favorite baseball uniforms from the 80s? Even though it was out for a short period of time, I always got a kick out of the Chicago White Sox's uniform, I think from 1981 or 79. No, that might have been 79 when they actually had the shorts and the big collars. I always got a kick out of that. For some reason, I always enjoyed the Astros jersey. It was god ugly. You know, look at the 86 Astros at home. You know what I'm talking about. On the road, they weren't so bad. But honestly, I think my favorite uniform from the early 80s was the San Diego Padres. And I'm not a fan of brown, like wearing brown. I don't own any brown suits. I don't even think I own any brown shoes. Do I have like brown Skechers? Yeah, but as far as dress shoes, I don't think I own any. But there was just something about the jerseys they had around 84. The Padres, I don't know. I had a Gossage jersey from 84. Who else did I have? There was one other jersey. I can't remember who it was right now, but I fucking really enjoyed the look of it. But there were some other jerseys I liked as well. I liked the Mets 83 jersey that was like a blue. Like they had the blue top. Just look at Tom Seaver because I know he pitched. I don't know if it was. No, it wasn't opening day because they had the regular jerseys. But the road jersey, it was 83 road Mets jersey. They had a variation of it in 88, I believe it was. Or 80. No, 87 was that ugly script. But yeah, there's a couple. Just to throw right off the bat. CM Black Pixels. Why does WWE change a lot of things that gets wrestlers over once they leave NXT? This kind of brings back to what I said before. Seems like it would be harder, if you think about it, to get over with the hardcore crowd. He compares it to a baseball player, it's a center fielder, and then you bring him up and then you put him as a catcher. I'll tell you why you're wrong, CM Black. Because when someone is playing baseball in the minor leagues, all right, they're honing their craft to do the same thing on a major league level. The problem is that if a baseball player gets brought up to the major league level and cannot perform, let's say, playing center field, it's usually because of offense, not defense. Because if you're running after a ball, it doesn't matter if the person hitting it is in AAA or major league. Obviously, if they hit in the gap a little bit more, you might have a little more running to do. But as a center fielder, because it's such a high-profile position, especially with offense too, there are some positions over the years that offense wasn't the focus. I think shortstop is a good example of that. But if you're in a position where offense is a big deal and you're not cutting it as in the offense category, then you need to make changes and maybe put that person as a DH or first base. As far as wrestling goes, it's entertainment. You know, if you could play baseball, you don't have to be a colorful character to play baseball. And you don't need to be a colorful character in order to lead the league in home runs or this, this, and that. If you're a colorful character, that's a plus. And you're a superstar too in baseball, that's a huge plus. But in wrestling, if you have all the ability in the world, but you're not connecting with the crowd, you know, what does that leave you? There are a lot of wrestlers over the years who were tremendously good in the ring and told wonderful stories, but they had the fucking charisma of a potted plant. You can't compare baseball to wrestling. The idea is to get people, look at the Revival. Like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I went on the shows and I said, look, I think the only way to get the Revival over a little bit further, I think eventually they're going to feel they're going to need to do comedy. Dumb skits. They put them as champions. Didn't feel anything special. There was rumors of them leaving. They didn't leave. Put the belts back on them. Some people thought, oh, they put the belts back on them because they're staying. Didn't feel special. They decided to, let's do the goofy skits with the Usos. And they did those dumb skits with shaving the back and this and that. You know, unfortunately, in the current climate of wrestling, you need to click with the fans. And good comedy always seems to click. And unfortunately, you know, being an old school guy in 2019, that doesn't cut it. Even when you're a wrestler, oh, he's 80s, he's old school. Well, there's a reason why when people watch 80s matches, they chant boring. When we grew up, we didn't think it was boring. But for today's standards, because the style is different, you would chant boring. I know some people who think Hogan Andre in WrestleMania 3 is one of the worst matches in the history of wrestling. I fucking marked out for it when I was a kid because of the whole storyline and everything else. But you look at it just in work rate, you think it sucks. So you can't, when you're in NXT and you're performing in front of a certain type of audience that appreciates that type of, you look at the NXT crowd, you look at the WWE main roster crowd, with the exception of a pay-per-view or the night after Mania or Mania, you know, the crowds are different. You don't have as many kids going to NXT because kids want to see the larger than life, you know, household names. You know, it's nothing against Adam Cole or anything else, but you, how many kids you know out there? Oh, I got Adam Cole. Hey, Adam Cole. No, they want to see the larger than life names that they've seen day in and day out and day in and day out. So you bring them to the main roster, and now they're not clicking with the WWE Universe, that totally different crowd, and you try and you try and you try and it doesn't work. So you tweak it and you change it. You do this. They're not trying to ruin people. I hate when people say, oh, they're going to bring them to the main roster and ruin them. It's because the crowd in NXT is different than the main roster. Shout out to our associate producers, Tyke Z. Bowers, Neil McLeod, Vic Condor, Garcia Kane, CM Black Pixels, Michael Cuomo, Daniel Warren, Brian Byrne, Rob McCabe, The Metaphor Isaac Fox, Spider Lewin, Carl Buteau, a.k.a. Cheese and Rice, Julian LeBlanc, Rich Maharg, Big Red, Brandon Bryce, Chris Lumna, Zach Spoonamore, Tommy Piketty, Larry Trella, Mad Dog No Good, John Garcia, James Farmer, Keith Lee, Douglas McKay, Merrill Coombs Jr., Russell Zavala, Donald J. Trump, Andrew 914, Tim Everhart, John Coffey, Diogo Nobre, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers, James Deal, Crestman, CJ Uihara, Bob O'Mac, Mark Israel, James Gruesome, Anthony Smith, Out Nahia, Aaron Kloss, Brent Webster, Asano Hashmi, Billy Taylor, Adam Des Moines, Paul Convoy, Michael Rhino, Nico Time, Joseph Nikoluk, Tom Baffa, Jay Smoothie, Cockboy, James Mills, Kane Shaw, Jeffrey Collins, Timothy Keel, Ernesto Defender, D-Boy Gentleman, Don Tony's political advisor, Stan the Man Loudon, Fatty 316, Roger Rubio, John Krauser, congrats again, my friend, killing it at Second City, Keith Doherty, Chris Harris, Tony, Chuck Lentz, Brandon Foley, Michael Westfall, Johnny Marin, Jerry Stewart, Derek Brewer, Stell, Michael John Buchanan, Jacob Esten. Thank you, as always. They are associate producers. They, along with our other patrons, are the reason why this is free, and they heavily influence as far as what is discussed on these shows. Yeah, I'm curious, who do you think is going to win King of the Ring? Do you think that they will do Queen of the Ring? Do you think that the idea of a King Corbin and a Queen Evans is a possibility? I think it is. Baron Corbin, you know, conspicuous by his absence, but he is going to be back. Is he going to have the same gimmick? Are they going to tweak his attire a little bit? I don't know. Anyway, I think we're going to cut it. Went a little bit longer than I thought I would. I honestly didn't think I had this much to talk about, but hey, you know, you set the foundation of what you want discussed. I build on it, and hopefully by the end of the show, you really enjoyed it. Now, as you already know, I am having surgery a week from today. I don't think it's going to, it definitely will not affect next week's shows. Breakfast Soup Live on Tuesday, Breakfast Soup on Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. Will still take place next Friday. I mean, look, if I'm really, really sore in a lot of pain, I could always just hold off until Saturday to do it. I know our patrons will not mind. But as far as DTKC show goes, there's no reason why I can't be on this Monday since my surgery's not until Thursday. But the following Monday, I most likely will not be on. That Tuesday as well for DTKC Extra. It'll probably be a Kevin Castle solo show, which I know he has never done yet. I think a live Kevin Castle solo on Discord would be pretty cool. So we'll play it by ear. We'll see how everything goes. But I want to thank you for the support as always, everyone. Me, Breakfast with Blasi, I'll be back in 2 weeks, the 28th of August. Everyone be well. Send your feedback as always. Follow me on Twitter, @NonTonyD. The website, DonTony.com. Email me, DonTony@DonTony.com, Facebook.com/DTKC Show. And remember our Patreon, Patreon.com/DonTony. You can sign up for as little as $2. You get some live free content with it. And keep in mind, too, you know, you sign up for something for like $5. There are hundreds of Patreon exclusive episodes just sitting there waiting for you to enjoy. So I want everybody to know, you sign up. It's not like you're only getting what shows we're going to be doing later on this week and next. You have the entire library to enjoy as well. We are going to be bringing Ask Us Anything to DTKC show. That will be in a few weeks because I have to figure out how we're actually going to be taking the questions. I don't know if we're going to do email or Twitter or maybe a hashtag. I don't know yet. Got to see the format. It's not as easy as you think. When we used to have TV tracks, I know a lot of people on YouTube would leave their comments there. Not everybody's on YouTube. So I'll figure it out. That'll be in a couple of weeks. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And that's it. Take care. Be well. Talk to you soon. Ciao.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.